thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvina Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We open our broadcast service with the choir singing for us, Peace Like a River. It's not a secret that we are living in a troubled world. Trouble between nations, troubles within nations, and troubles in the home, troubles in the community, troubles, it seems, everywhere. But there is a place and a person whereby we can find peace. Yes, there is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus himself said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There is peace through the Lord Jesus Christ and a true experience of salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that you have brought into this world through your Son. And we're thankful that we have him today as our Savior and Lord, and we have the peace that he brings. And we do desire to present his gospel to this precious people. And if there be those in our congregation who know thee not, do not know the peace that you're able to give, we pray that you'll use this broadcast service, the words that are spoken, to bring souls to the place where they will seek the Lord and thus find peace to their souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, Unity of the Spirit. And I will read from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit is not only set forth in the Scriptures as possible, but it is required by God. Let us notice the seven ones as set forth by the Apostle Paul here in this fourth chapter of Ephesians. And let us keep in mind that verse 3 tells us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. While there are various congregations in different locations, these congregations are supposed to be the same in spirit and in doctrine. That is why Paul was able to say he taught everywhere in every congregation. So the first one that I want to call your attention to, there is one body. So Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 4. The body Paul speaks of course, is the church. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. So I say, while there are various congregations in different locations of the country and the world, yet these congregations are supposed to be one in spirit and thus one in doctrine. And we are to put forth the effort to see that this is a reality. In Ephesians 4 and 15 and 16, Paul speaks of Christ, the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So there is one body, and the body of Christ is made up of all true Christians. When I speak of the Church of God, I'm not talking about some little denomination with some earthly headquarters here in the United States or in some other part of the world. When I speak of the Church of God, I'm speaking about the body of Christ, of which every member or every Christian is a member. Again, Paul says here in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. In other words, every member has a place to fill, every member has a job to do, and they supply that need or that part of their responsibility, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The unity is based on the doctrine of Christ. We read in 2 John chapter or verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And so the unity that we are to have is based on the unity of the Spirit and also unity of the doctrine. There are two unities taught here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. First is the unity of the Spirit, and the second is the unity of the faith. Let me read again from 2 John, and this time I'll begin with verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, the second one that I want to mention, of the seven ones that we find here in Ephesians 4, is one Spirit. There is one Spirit, Ephesians 4 and 4. There are many spirits in the world, even the religious world, but only one Holy Spirit. And of course, when Paul says there is one Spirit, he is talking about the one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave man the total truth through the apostles. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. St. John chapter 14 and verse 26. And of course, the one Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, and whenever He is come, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit does not divide Christians. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit does not divide Christians. The Spirit of God is indeed the Spirit of unity, and we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit until the Spirit is able to bring us into the unity of the faith. He teaches all the truth. The Holy Spirit never teaches error. He never teaches that which would divide and separate Christians. It is another Spirit that teaches error and divides the Christians. Now, the third one of the seven ones, called in one hope of your calling, verse 4 of Ephesians 4, called by God to repentance and eternal life. There is only one door and one narrow way that leads to heaven. And so we have a hope, one hope, one hope of our calling, the hope of living here on the earth, having peace in our soul, peace with God, peace with our fellow man, and then having the hope of eternal life in the world to come. No, not for 1,000 years in some literal kingdom, but living with Christ, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with all the holy angels, and with all the saints of all ages throughout a never-ending eternity. What a hope that is! And how miserable people must be living in this world if they do not have a hope. But the child of God, who knows Christ, he knows peace, he also has a hope. And he has that hope here and now, and that hope will last until eternity comes upon us. One Lord, the fourth one I want to mention, one Lord, we find this in verse 5 of Ephesians 4, one Lord Jesus Christ. As Lord, he requires obedience to his teachings. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus speaking, as recorded by Luke in chapter 6 and verse 46 of Luke. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. I have mentioned before on the way of this broadcast that there are those who think they can have Christ as their Savior and then maybe later on have Him as their Lord. But that is a mistaken idea. If you're going to have Christ as your Savior, then Christ is going to be your Lord. You cannot have Him as Savior without Him being your Lord, and He cannot be your Lord without being your Savior. So there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, and He is the only one that has the power to redeem and to keep us from sin. Now, number 5 of our ones, one faith. And this is something that's rather controversial among some people in the religious world. But nevertheless, it is what the Apostle Paul teaches here in Ephesians 4 and 5. There is one faith. Some people say, well, what faith are you of? Well, according to Paul, there is one faith. Now, understand, just as there is only one true Holy Spirit, Paul is speaking about one true faith. There are many religious faiths in the world, but there is only one true faith. One Lord, one faith. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have the one faith. Now, the word faith is used in different ways. In a book of Hebrews, chapter 11, what we refer to as the faith chapter, he's talking there about having faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that is reward of them that diligently seek him. But here, faith is used from the standpoint of doctrine. There is only one true doctrine taught in the Word of God, and the Bible does not contradict itself. And you need the one true Spirit to understand and to know what the one true faith is. So there is one faith, one true faith. And the Apostle Jude tells us that it is necessary for us to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. No, there has not been a new faith offered since the time of Christ and the apostles. There are many religious faiths, I say, today, and that is why there is so much division and confusion in the world. But there is only one true faith. Now, number 6, one baptism. That's in verse 5 of Ephesians 4. There is a number of baptisms mentioned in the New Testament. The baptism of John, which was the baptism unto repentance, but it was not New Testament baptism. New Testament baptism was the formula that Jesus gave the disciples, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One baptism. Baptism is a burial. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. It is a burial. And a person is not a proper or a fit candidate for water baptism until they have died to sin. You do not bury people while they're still alive. So water baptism is a testimony to the world that you have died to sin. I baptize people and I put them down in the water and I endeavor to see that the entire body is covered, but I don't leave them there. I bring them back up out of the water. And that is typical of our being resurrected from the dead state of sin to life in Christ. So water baptism is a type of our death to sin and our resurrection to life in Christ. Now the seventh one that I want to mention is one God. This is in verse 6 of Ephesians 4. There are those who say we sin if we do not use the ancient Hebrew name of Yahweh. But, beloved, why do you single out that one word? Whenever the Word of God is translated from the Hebrew to the English, we get the English language. If it's translated from the Greek to the English, then we've got the English language. And so in the English translation of the Scriptures, we have the word God. And so here in Ephesians 4 and 6, Paul says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there is one God and only one God. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. Now, when we speak of one God, we're talking about the Trinity, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one. Yes, they are one. And Jesus Christ prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John that all of his followers should be one, even as he and the Father are one. And so the body of Christ is one. God is one, even though there is the Trinity in the Godhead. There's only one true God. Now, this should not be such a difficult thing to understand, because the Bible speaks of all Christians being one body. not two, not three, not four, but one body, many members, but one body. And we read also in the book of Genesis, after God had created Adam and then made him a helpmeet and brought her to him, he made them one flesh. Yes, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They are two persons, but they are one. And that's one thing that is greatly needed among our families today, is for the husband and the wife to truly be one. If they are truly one, they're not going to be divorcing, and they're not going to be bickering, quarreling, and fussing, but they're going to be one, one in interest, one in love, one in concern, one in laboring to make their home what God would have it to be. So there is one God. Now, in conclusion, Paul says, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We must strive to do this, or else the Spirit will never be able to bring us into the unity of the faith. And God would have us to be united not only in spirit, but united in faith. True unity would rid the world of all the divisions that prevails in the world today. Yes, true unity would get rid of all divisions, and we would have one body to present to the world, a united body that is agreeing in spirit and in doctrine. And this is God's plan. This is God's will. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our congregation today. May the Holy Spirit convey the truth to hearts, and may the program be a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that the thoughts that have been brought to you have been a blessing. We would ask you to consider them and consider Paul's writings here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we would be thankful if you would take time to write and let us know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. And you may address your mail, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we would like to invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.